Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Today on the Homeschool Sanity Show, we will be discussing lessons learned in homeschooling high school. Today, I am joined by Kim Smith, Vicki Tillman, and Sabrina Justison.
Hey, Melanie.
Hi. Hello.
Kim, did I mispronounce your name?
Oh, it's Smith, but that's quite all right. I always tell people I answer to most anything, you know, up through Hey You. If it becomes censorable, then I probably won't answer to it.
Well, at least I recognized it. So it is Kim Smythe. Yeah, I am so sorry.
That's quite all right.
These three ladies are six 20-plus year veteran homeschool moms who helped each other make it all the way to high school graduation. Vicki, Sabrina, Kim, Marilyn, Sarah, and Allison make up SevenSistersHomeschool.com, providing ebook curriculum, coaching, and encouragement for homeschoolers everywhere. Firmly committed to the truth that there is not one right way to homeschool, Seven Sisters develops curriculum that is adaptable to a variety of levels and promises no busy work and no overkill. Sharing with others via blog posts, social media, and the Homeschool High School podcast, your big sisters will help you along on your homeschool adventures. But I don't understand the Seven Sisters name, you may say. When I count the sisters, I only get to six. That's because when you join them, you are the seventh sister. Well, I am just thrilled to have three of these sisters joining me today, and I would like them to begin by introducing themselves and telling us more about their families. Kim, can we start with you?
Sure. So, my name is Kim Smythe. I have four children, one of whom is 25, living out on her own. She survived my homeschooling her. And she is working in a job that she got when she was 17 years old, that she got because she was a homeschooler. And then I have a son who is 22, who is about to graduate college, looking to go to law school. And then I have twin daughters who are 19, who are in their sophomore year of college, and are having a great time playing ice hockey for their school, and are looking at moving off campus next year.
All right. Wonderful. My oldest son is interested in going to law school as well.
Oh, we should chat.
Yeah. All right. Sabrina, please tell us more about you and your family.
I am Sabrina Justison. I am the mom of a blended family. My husband and I married when he had three kids and I had four. And so we homeschooled my four, who were the younger of the set. So our kids now range in age from the baby is turning 19, and the oldest is somewhere in the 30s. We'll just leave it there. So in the 30s. And I have a grandson and another grandson on the way due next March. So yeah, so we homeschooled our four youngest, kindergarten all the way through high school graduation, and our kids are all over the place as far as what they've done with life since then. We have a kid who's a dentist. We have a kid who's in banking. We have a kid who's a nurse. We have a kid who is actually two kids working in the restaurant industry, and a kid who is a second grade teacher. So we're just kind of all over the place. But homeschooling was what four of our kids did, and three of them were in the private school system.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, that is quite an array of professions. And I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and say that you're probably most excited about those grandbabies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got that right. That was so much fun.
Well, I am looking forward to that part of life. So that is so neat. I'm happy for you. Vicki, can you tell us more about you and your family?
So I have five kids. My youngest is 19 also. He'll soon be 20, and he's a junior in music education at the University of Delaware. And then I have a son who is a teacher for middle schoolers in history and Latin and geography at one of the large private schools in the area. And then my daughter is a photographer and has a very thriving photography business in the Annapolis area. And then I have a son who is, golly, I don't even remember how old my kids are, but anyway, he's working on his doctoral degree in comparative literature at the University of Maryland. And then my oldest is a philosophy doctorate, and he taught college for years and realized that you could make more money in the private sector, and so he now develops software and curriculum for an online company who does pedagogues, an educational company. So he's having fun doing that. My older three are all married, and all of them, let's see, one, my oldest is married to a homeschooler who's now a librarian at Notre Dame. And my daughter's married to a Navy Russian analyst, and he was a homeschooler. Didn't go all the way through high school, but the homeschool community just is all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then my son, who's at University of Maryland, is married to a wonderful young woman from Korea that he met when he was teaching there. And they have my only grandbaby. So, and then I have a couple of grand dogs that I babysit sometimes. I like them too.
it's just fascinating for me to hear the different paths that homeschooled kids take. And I know it is going to be for my listeners too. So I thank you so much for sharing that. I know it has to be just such a joy to see your kids finding their way in the world after you homeschooled them.
Yes,
well, that,
it is.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. Well, that really leads us to our topic for today, which is homeschooling high school. That is what we did before our kids started on that path toward whatever God had in mind for them. Did you each know that you would homeschool high school for sure? Or was that a decision that evolved? And I'm going to start with Kim again.
Oh my, that was not an automatic decision for us. We started homeschooling when my oldest came home from Brownies one night in third grade because she had met a friend there. And she came home and said, "Mom, I'd really appreciate it if you would homeschool me." And my husband works in the public school system where we live. And I'm a certified teacher. And so we really had to think a long time because we really value the importance of public education as well. We knew a lot of homeschoolers. We knew a lot about homeschooling. And we didn't have any objections. But so we kind of kept taking it one day at a time or one year at a time. And really never thought as far as high school. And then, of course, when we got to high school, there was that moment of trepidation toward the end of eighth grade and looking. And over the summer, I can remember my daughter and I sitting on my bed and both of us in tears, like, I don't know if we could do this. And it was just, but it's been a wonderful experience. We took it one year at a time, and I wouldn't trade anything for it.
That's wonderful. Sabrina, how about you?
Very similar to what Kim is saying, we took it one year at a time. And I think that I always, from my perspective, what did I want? I liked the idea of going all the way through, but I wasn't entirely sure how that might play out and whether all the pieces would come together. And so it was one of those things where I recognized that I had a desire to do that, but I wasn't entirely sure it was God's desire. So each year we would take stock of the situation and prayerfully consider whether this was the thing to keep doing. And it was important to me to look at each kid as an individual rather than saying, am I going to keep homeschooling this year, homeschooling all of them, or am I going to stop homeschooling all of them? But to instead really just take some time and talk with each kid and talk with God about, so is this the best plan for this child for this next year?
That is so good. And I want to come back to that after Vicki answers the question, because I think that is such an important issue. to talk about. Yeah. Vicki, what about you?
I had always intended to homeschool all the way through graduation. That was my intent, but I was well aware that, you know, a mom's mind can plan her way, but God is going to direct her paths.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, if God had had another idea, he would have made that clear. But fortunately for me, it must have been his idea so we could go all the way through. Because the thing that by the time I had kids in high school, I would have lost was my homeschool community, I think. You know, like if my kids went off to school somewhere, and especially if all of them had done that, all of my friends are homeschooling in co-op and group class. I mean, that's where I saw my social life friends. So I was glad that they all were happy to homeschool all the way through.
Oh, I bet. And I can definitely relate to that. Well, the reason I wanted to pick back up on what Sabrina said is because I really want to hear your experience having homeschooled longer than I have. Don't you think it was the case that when you started homeschooling, the assumption was that you as the mother would make the decision for all of your children about whether or not you would homeschool all the way through high school? And it wasn't so much of a case-by-case basis. Did you feel that kind of pressure to do that, kind of, you know, toe the line for homeschoolers?
I think there's definitely some of that expectation in our community. And I think most of it that I'm experienced has come from really good intentions. Of us just being, wow, isn't this a fabulous experience? Isn't it good for our entire families? It's good for the kids. It's good for mom. And so, yeah, I think there is sort of that expectation. And one conversation we have often had at Seven Sisters is just like we always like to say, there's not one right way to homeschool. In reality, there's not one right way to school, and that will vary for family to family and student to student. And so my oldest daughter thought really seriously about going to public school for a time, and she ended up deciding against that. But if that's really where God was leading her, we certainly would have supported that.
Mm. That's,
yeah,
that's
right. I know that if it's okay for me to go next again.
Of course.
I think that one of the things that was really hard for the early years that I homeschooled is I thought of myself as a homeschooler rather than as someone who homeschooled. Mm. And so my identity was very, very much tied up in that. And there did come a time when I was seriously considering with one of my kids whether he would do best in a traditional school. And it was kind of weird to think about, well, what does that mean about me? And am I still a homeschooler if I'm homeschooling some of my kids? And yeah, there's a whole lot of different ways to educate. I think Kim said something very important there. There's not one right way to school. And while homeschooling worked very, very well for my four youngest kids in our blended family, the private school system worked exceptionally well for the most part for the three older ones. So, mm-hmm. you know, there can be a blessing in any path that we take, as long as, like Vicki had said, as long as we are planning that set of steps, but we're acknowledging that God is the one who's directing it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is just huge what you said, because I definitely thought of myself as a homeschooler rather than someone who homeschools. That is a huge distinction. And I did not hear the kind of messages that you ladies are sharing when it came time to making a decision about what was best for my child. But Vicki, what was your experience with that?
Of course, I am significantly more experienced in life, as in I'm really old. And so when my oldest son was getting ready for the high school years, that was so long ago that nobody high schooled homeschool at that time. Mm. It just wasn't done. And so I was in our little area here in the Delaware area, kind of the first wave of homeschoolers who decided, hey, this is so much fun and so good for our family. Let's do homeschooling all the way through high school. So it was absolutely terrifying. You know, everybody else's kid was going off to the public schools or private schools for high school, and we wanted to keep on doing what was working for us. So we would get together a group of moms. I tell the story all the time because I only have a few stories. But it's like old people tell the same stories all the time. So we would get this group of moms who had teenagers, you know, getting ready to start high school together. And we would pray and we would talk and we would research and plan. And we called it our rap group because that was so long ago. The word rap in those days meant a group of people that sit around and talk and not something to do with music. So my kids, when they found out about that later, they thought that was really gross. Their mom was in a rap group, but it was a different thing. So for us, it was a very intentional decision to be countercultural, that we wanted to start doing homeschooling in high school because that was what was best for our kids.
Very good. Well, I'm glad that you were one of the pioneers, Vicki. I really do believe that we... those of us who are homeschooling now owe a huge debt of gratitude to those who took the risks to homeschool when it wasn't popular and, Amen. You know, and just stood up for the right to homeschool legally. So I'm very, very thankful to you, Lee.
Yeah, it's so fun, you know, knowing that there's a whole 2 million children in America today being homeschooled that don't have to do truant officer drills. Homeschooling is safe and legal.
I know, and it's easy to forget that, I think. All right, well, I want to begin having learned a little bit more about your stories with the homeschool mom, or maybe not even a homeschool mom yet, but the mom who is thinking, homeschooling high school, there is no way that I can do this. And I talk to them. I know you talk to them. And so what would you want to say to this mom who is listening right now? We'll start with Kim.
Well, I would just want to say, homeschooling high school, you can do it. And I'm sorry, it's kind of a shameless plug, but you actually created a video course to answer that exact question. But to get away from the plug, I really do want to encourage moms, anybody who's out there listening, dads, is just, you really can do it. And one of the huge pointers or tips or whatever that we've learned and that we've just have grown through so much is just connecting with your community. And we're very blessed where we live. There is a strong community. And so that is a lot of the reason that all of us have had such a great experience homeschooling high school. And I'd just like to encourage people, if that's not available in your area, Vicki and Marilyn were huge, a part of that community starting or you know, kind of getting going and keeping it going in the early days. And you can do it. We've got some great resources available for folks that are thinking about starting things. And you know, you can grow from a co-op. It doesn't take a ton of families. You can have a few families. And if somebody's a little bit more experienced in one thing and somebody's more experienced in another, you can share your expertise or your passions or your resources. And there's so many great resources available on the internet now. Sounding old, aren't I? Just really know that you can do it. It's a matter of figuring out whether or not you should, maybe, but there are many, many ways to do it and do it well.
All right. Sabrina, what do you want to add to what Kim said?
I guess I would add that if you look back at your own high school experience, whether you were in a public school, whether you were in a private school, there were holes left in your education. You were not given a completely perfect set of knowledge so that when you graduated and flipped that tassel, you knew everything that high school graduates were supposed to know. That's not the way it works. And so I think a lot of times when I talk to moms who are at that point, what they're afraid of is that they're going to leave holes.
that they're going to fail to equip their kid with learning that they need. And the truth is, you are going to leave holes if you choose to homeschool your kid through high school. But your kid's education is going to have gaps in it or holes in it no matter where they go to high school, because it's not an exact science. It's, what's that quote, that education is less the filling of a bucket and more the lighting of a fire? I think I said it backwards. But there's not some finite number of things that are supposed to be learned while you are in high school. And that one of the most important things to come out of a high school education is a child who knows how to learn, who wants to learn, who is interested in being a lifelong learner. So if you're looking at it and it's intimidating, I would just want to say that you're not going to do it perfectly, and that's okay, because there is not some perfect standard to meet. If you can help your child learn, know how he or she learns well, and cultivate that love for learning, then you will have given them a great high school education.
That's very good. Vicki, what about you? So the mom says, I can't do it. There's no way.
I usually encourage moms that motherhood is all about guilt, and homeschooling is all about guilt too. So, you know, we have to set aside the desperate need to get it right and to do the best we can. And like Sabrina said, if we can cultivate some kind of love of learning, not every child is going to love learning math, but they'll love learning something. And in doing that, we'll help them discover themselves and who God made them to be, and get them on the road to, you know, God's plans for them in life. Then we will have done what we are supposed to do. And that's not a, like, turn every kid out into a Harvard graduate kind of kid, but for doing homeschooling the way God wants you to do it.
Very good. I heard from a mom, a homeschooling mom, on my Facebook page, who shared with me that she had not had a good education. And this is not an unusual thing for me to hear. I bet you have heard it as well. And I was so impressed by her commitment to educate herself so that she could be a better home educator. I mean, that's the power of a mother's commitment. That there is no teacher in any school setting who can compare to a mother's love and commitment to, you know, her child in that kind of a situation. So if that's you, I encourage you to do the same thing. And, you know, I just echo what these ladies had to share, which is you can definitely do it. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about the lessons that we have learned in homeschooling high school. What is one or more of the important lessons that you have learned, Kim, in homeschooling high school that you would like to share with my listeners today?
I think for me, we've already touched on a lot of my favorites, but I'll try to go for something a little different that we haven't talked about too much. Is I realized when I first started homeschooling, I was thinking academically, and I was thinking, you know, reading and writing and math and science and what have you. And I quickly realized that homeschooling, all those things are important, but for me, it's way more about developing the whole person. It's about helping my kids and even my husband and I find our passions and where God wants us to go next, and doing whatever seems prudent to sort of prepare ourselves for whatever that is and wherever that is. And so we talk a lot about character development in our Seven Sisters. Vicki and Sabrina have put a lot about that on our blog. We talk about it a lot when we're together. And it's just really important. You know, I think God cares way more about what kind of a person you are and how much integrity you have and how loving you are for the people around you and how you serve other people than he cares what the grade was on your ninth grade essay. And so to make sure that we're touching on both of those aspects of our families and each of our children has been really important to me.
Very good. So true. Sabrina, what about you?
I would have to say that one lesson I definitely learned was how important it is to help our children discover what kind of learner they are. We find a lot of stuff now, I think, for homeschooling our elementary kids that talks about learning styles, but that was kind of new to me when we started homeschooling, and we were a little bit older before I really started to get in touch with that and how important it was for me to help each of my kids determine their optimal learning style and then find ways to use that in all different kinds of situations. And it's not like you can automatically make a situation fit your favorite learning style. Sometimes you just have to deal with what it is. You know, if I go to the DMV to take my driver's test, they're not going to change it up for me. Well, you know, I'm an experiential learner, so I would just like for you to go ahead and put me behind the wheel, and I'm just going to give it a try. You know, they're going to make you take the written test. But if my son had not realized when he did and hadn't gotten such a good strong hold on how important the auditory element was for him, he would have really struggled in some areas. Things that are highly visual, he needs to turn those things into words and talk about them and hear it said, and he needs that component to make sense of it. And the fact that by the time he was dealing with geometry, say, in high school, the fact that he knew that and that he was really okay with the fact that I've got to find some ways to make this an auditory experience too, where it's not going to stick for me. That kind of tool placed in each of my kids' hands, where they knew something about themselves, was super important, not just for academic success in high school, but then for dealing with the DMV and for dealing with their taxes and for dealing with on-the-job training and all the other things that are going to come along with life.
Very good. I've definitely been learning that lately with my new high schooler who has some ADD issues. So it's not just learning style, but also, you know, how to help him study, how to help him be most motivated to complete his work. And those are all things that homeschooling high school will teach you that homeschooling the younger grades won't necessarily do as much. So I appreciate that, Sabrina, a lot. Vicki, what about you? What's a lesson that you have learned in homeschooling high school?
So one of the lessons I got to learn, you know, God uses every experience, and I had the opportunity to learn that there's not one right way to homeschool, which you hear us say all the time, because we've learned it and lived it. So, but when I was a younger mom and my kids were getting ready to go into high school, there were all these educational fads that would go through. In fact, they still do. And in those days, the big fad was the principal approach. And if you were going to be a good homeschooler, you were going to use their curriculum and the ideas and all that. It was really cool stuff, only it was really expensive, and our family couldn't afford it. And so I really had this existential crisis on, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to ruin my kids because I'm not doing it the right way. And, you know, if God did not provide, then that wasn't the door that he wanted us to walk through. And what we found is that it was best for our kids, since we couldn't do principal approach, to develop curriculum for our kids or use curriculum that fit, like Sabrina said, each learning style and develop our interests and my interests too, because if I wasn't interested in it, it was really hard to do. So that to be open to God opening and closing doors, and that just because everybody else is doing something doesn't mean that everybody has to do it.
Very good. That's so true. And I think a message that homeschoolers with younger kids, that I think that will really resonate with them, because I talk to homeschool moms with little ones who have a lot of anxiety about that as well. In listening to what you had to share, I wanted to add a lesson that I have learned in homeschooling high school, and I'm actually continuing to learn it with my college age boys, and that is how to transition mm-hmm. from being the authority in your child's education to being a coach mm-hmm. in your child's mm-hmm. education. Isn't that the
yeah.
truth?
Yeah. Preach it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know when you hear the answer.
Well, I don't have an answer, but I am definitely learning lessons in that every day. You know, it's so one of the funny stories that I can tell is that, you know, as homeschoolers, we can be so flexible. So if we take on a curriculum that just isn't working, you know, we throw it out. Or if we are trying to study too many things at once and it's just too much, then we can say, well, we're not going to do that this mm-hmm. semester or this mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. And when my son was, I think he was a freshman. I had given him a curriculum to use, and when I was checking on his work, he hadn't been doing it. And he said, you know, I just don't like it. It's just, I'm not learning anything from it, so I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
It was so funny. So we had to have a conversation about, you know, it's not an optional subject that I'm giving you.
That makes my whole day.
But there are definitely times, you know, I had, as a junior high student, my oldest said, well, why do I have to do this art curriculum? It was an independent art curriculum, and I said, well, I mean, I had to do art when I was in junior high, and he just looked at me, you know, like, that's not a good enough reason. He said, I am not an artist. I don't enjoy art. I'm never going to use art. So why do I have to do it? So I said, okay, you don't have to do it. But, you know, so there are times when it's both and, you know, where you yeah. do have to be the authority because you believe that it is in your child's best interest. And then there are times when their feedback is definitely a priority mm-hmm. when choosing what they're going to study and how they're going to study it and those kinds of things. But that's been really exciting because I am growing as a mom. I learn, and I know you ladies feel the same, I learn from my kids as much, if not more, than they learn from me. So it's it's just so exciting to homeschool high school, and I love it. When I was looking into becoming a homeschooler, I attended it was through the community college here. It was a free seminar on homeschooling, and the woman who was doing it was a secular homeschooler. She started homeschooling in high school. And she said to all of us, high school is the most important time to homeschool. And I was so struck by that. And it always stayed with me. And, you know, I'm sure that some of the peer influences and, you know, the bad behavior that you can find in many high schools was a concern for her. But I have just loved it. I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to homeschool in high school so far. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be forever, but it has really, really been a blessing. So now what I would like to do is talk a little bit about the homeschool moms who are listening who don't yet have high schoolers. Maybe we've convinced them that this is a really rewarding endeavor. And so what should they do to get their child ready for high school? Is there something that they can do now, Kim, to prepare themselves?
Wow, a great question, Melanie. Well, I did a lot of unschooling or, you know, very unstructured schooling with my kids when they were younger, and that fit my personality really well. And it fit some of my children's personalities very well. And I can remember approaching Vicky the wise icon in our community at a roller skating. We used to have monthly afternoon roller skating. And I can remember approaching Vicky and saying, so my daughter is in seventh grade and we're getting ready to start thinking about high school. And do you have any advice? And she kind of looked at me with that great smile that Vicky has. And she said, well, tell me what you're doing now. And I told her and she said, I think that's just lovely. And that's exactly where you left it, Vicky. And so what I took from that is, you know, you found what you're doing for your family, and as long as that's working, don't completely abandon that in order to do what you think is coming next. Mm. Then what I would add from my personal experience is, for me, I would have probably started to do some more structured work and transition a little bit more to that. Maybe not in every subject, but maybe in a few subjects. We did a lot of Konos co-oping, which was just wonderful for our family, and a lot of field trips and things like that. And I probably would have just gotten maybe a little bit more structured with the language arts and the math leading up to it. But really, I think it's good to do whatever's working for your family and not be overly pressured by what's coming next.
Mm. Boy, that's excellent advice, Kim. I love it. What about you, Sabrina? What would you say as far as getting prepared for high school?
I think that's something I wish I had done a little bit differently. I think that high school, it's really important for teens to begin taking ownership of their homework, their whatever you want to call it, whether it's homework for a co-op class or whether it's their daily work that they're doing independently. I think I probably was still keeping too close an eye on things in 7th and 8th grade, and it would have been really good for there to be at least a couple of their academic subjects where I pretty much did the whole, I'm going to assume that you are going to move forward with this because this is a subject that you're doing just fine on without me, and I'm going to check in from time to time to make sure that you're not falling behind, but created just primarily an accountability structure rather than sort of sitting next to them for every little bit of it. And a couple of my kids took very naturally to the ownership of their work in high school, but a couple of them did not, and I think that I could have laid a little bit better groundwork for that by encouraging more of that independence and that that creating accountability for themselves and following a simple syllabus or something like that in those middle school years so that they would have been a little bit more ready to juggle their coursework. You've just got more classes and you are often you're often just busier once you get into high school. You know, you often have other kinds of activities that you commit to, and having that self-management in place, I think that's a handy thing.
Mm, that's excellent advice, too. Now I know why I had you ladies come on. Oh, good. Vicky, what about you?
So I'm very passionate about this topic here. So, all right, so one of the things us moms can do, especially as homeschool moms sometimes, because we have the opportunity to helicopter in a way other people might not, is we spend all of high school going, it's about college, it's about college, it's about college. And we can forget that God gave us one day at a time and miss the joy of the teen years. And then we get so good at living in the future that we do it with our middle schoolers. Well, it's all about high school. You got to be ready for high school. You got to be ready for high school. And so we miss the most fun years of their education so far. Is middle school, when you don't have to log anything and you don't have to finish 3/4 of the textbook if you don't want, and there's no Carnegie credit or a GPA or a transcript, you need to have fun. And so if our kids learn to enjoy education and get the best out of middle school as far as experiential, and maybe, you know, kind of ease in a little bit to using textbooks. Like, I hated textbooks, so we did it for math, and that's about it. But that's a good thing. But what we concentrated on was having fun in middle school and good, rich educational experiences, and then self-government skills and networking skills, things that they would need in life, like, you know, how to have a conversation and how to walk into a crowded room and how to do your homework or your schoolwork without being nagged or get yourself up in the morning without mom coming and shaking you. And so those are the things we worked on in middle school. So we concentrated more on living in the moment and loving it and self-government kind of things.
Excellent, excellent stuff. I can see homeschool moms with kids who are not yet in high school just scribbling furiously, taking notes. And I'm sure that they're going to also just really be reflecting on what we have been saying. I mean, this is just wisdom that is so valuable. I find myself wishing that I would have been living in your near where you had your co-op and your social support for homeschooling, because I can just tell that it was such a rich and encouraging environment. That is so wonderful. What a blessing.
Yeah, we are very blessed. Yeah.
You are. Well, one of the most fun parts of high school, for me anyway, is choosing electives and doing that with my kids. And Seven Sisters Homeschool has amazing core curriculum as well as electives for your high school students. They are going to be guest blogging on Psycho with Six on electives. Go ahead and check the show notes so you can find the link to that at homeschoolsanity.com/HS lessons. If you need more help and encouragement for homeschooling high school, be sure to subscribe to the Homeschool High School podcast. So if you just cannot get enough of these ladies, you don't have to go without them. You can hear their wisdom on their very own podcast anytime you would like.
Yeah, come visit.
Yes, do. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. It was so much fun.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I hope you will join me again.
Oh, we
thank you,
so,
Melanie.
Yes.
We would love to. Thanks, Melanie.
Anytime.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.